Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bose. So we're well into the spooky season, lovers, which means it's time for the 10th annual Hindi Horror Halloween.
For this landmark edition of HHH, we are revisiting one of the filmmakers from our first Hindi Horror Halloweens, Ram Gopal Varma.
First up, we have 1992's Rot, in which a young Revathi moves into a new home with her family and begins acting strangely.
Then, 1999's Cone, in which HHH regular Urmila Matondkar plays a woman alone on a dark and scary night when a killer is on the loose.
Before we begin, we'd like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people.
Matt, we've been recording these episodes for 10 years.
That's crazy.
We are 10 years deep into Hindi Horror Halloween. Do you have any reflection on the past 10 years of horror films? We do have a bit of an announcement to make about our expertise.
Our spooky new venture.
Well, it's not our new venture, but our expertise in Hindi horror cinema.
It's being used. Mm-hmm. Well, before we get to that, I don't know. It's interesting that horror kind of came back.
Mm-hmm.
Horror is some of the best stuff at the box office now.
Yeah.
Like these horror comedies is really interesting.
Yeah, this year's Street 2 has been a huge hit, and Bulbulia 3 looks like it's going to do quite well, hopefully, because it looks good.
We still haven't.
Yeah, we still haven't been able to see the first Bulbulia. It doesn't have subtitles. I can't remember if it's Hotstar or Z5, but I think it's Hotstar.
One of those situations.
Please give us the subtitles. We'd still really like to watch it. We've been trying.
We pay for the whole service. Can the subtitles be on it?
Yeah.
But that's been really interesting that, a genre that is somewhat disreputable and difficult to get a hold of and not typically the box office winner, the past 3 years has been doing really well.
I think like any genre, there's been some highs, there's been some lows, but overall, I think the highs are pretty high. I mean, there's a reason why we keep doing this episode year after year, and it's not because we like torturing ourselves. Like, granted, we've watched a lot of bad Bollywood horror films, but we've watched a lot of bad Bollywood films in general for the
podcast.
We're
not torturing ourselves any more than normal.
Yeah, we're always looking for something good. And even, I think, when we have scraped, into the depths and pulled out something like Papi Gudia, the Bollywood remake of Chucky, we continue to sing that movie's praises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The barrel is very shallow. So you could be at the bottom of the barrel and also be near the top of the barrel.
Yeah. So quick plug. We were recently guests on frequent guests of our podcast, Manish Mathur.
The Prince of Hearts.
On his podcast, Bollywood Drafts, to discuss Bollywood horror films.
And I think it's coming out soon. He said before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Before the end of the month.
Well, yeah, before Halloween.
Yeah.
So we're ranking Hindi horror films along with Josh Hurtado and Kathy Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fairly good conversation, and it gave us the opportunity to both kind of use our expertise of the past 10 years.
Hard-fought expertise.
Yes, but also to watch a bunch of new movies we hadn't seen, and we did watch some just for that episode that we're not going to be discussing here, and both of these were ones we caught up with for that episode, so we thought, because our very first Hindi Horror Halloween, we watched Ram Gopal Varma's Boot, which many people consider to be like a high watermark, and we hate it.
Yeah, more like butt.
Yeah. So we thought, we watched two more Ram Gopal Varma horror films in preparation for that episode with Manish, and we thought this would be a good way to kind of bring, for the 10th edition for X, to bring things a bit full circle.
And one of them is actually good.
Yeah, one of these films we actually quite loved.
Not the other one, though.
Yeah. Now,
at least for me.
Despite the fact that we've been doing this podcast, I guess it must be 10 years now, if this is the 10th anniversary, we still have barely scratched the surface of Ram Gopal Varma. He's a big name in Indian cinema, not just in Hindi language cinema. But a lot of his most acclaimed films, we either haven't had access to, or we just kind of haven't gotten there. And maybe it's because Boot really unimpressed us.
Well, we watched Sarkar 1 and 2, and those were pretty good, but I never saw the third one. I think you might have.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, much like the third Godfather film. Didn't
the best one.
Didn't really need to exist.
And yeah, the sort of RGV gangster films of the early 90s, we've been meaning to watch, but...
They've never all been available at the same time with subtitles. I'd really like to see them, and so I think we might start kind of putting some effort into closing that gap. I think I saw that company, or one of them, is like streaming on Canopy now. Mm-hmm. But Satya has been the one that's really been the hardest to get, and probably his most acclaimed film.
And Rangila, which...
Yeah, Rangila.
We wanted to watch that.
Rangila is a lot easier. And
that one's always around.
Yeah, that's more, from what I understand, not as dark and gritty.
Yeah.
But this is all of this is to say is that, like, 10 years in, we are still, I guess,
we don't know
neophytes?
We don't know that much about the
neophytes when it comes to Ram Gopal Varma.
Yes, we're not completely initiated into the cult.
Yeah.
Also, he's apparently gone incredibly downhill. His stuff lately, he had like a movie that you had to use his own cryptocurrency to purchase. He made a movie with Mia Malkova, who's a porn star.
Mm-hmm.
He's like done some like softcore stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a reverse Wes Craven or a reverse David Cronenberg, who started off in porno and then...
Cronenberg never started off in porno.
He supposedly might have been involved.
Oh, okay. Well, I know like...
In like Samurai Dreams in Videodrome, there's some of that.
Yeah, I know that like Scorsese maybe as well. Like,
A lot of people kind of got their start there. Because it's an industry that's always needing new talent.
Yeah, yeah. All those guys that that worked with Roger Corman. Yeah.
Well,
they also dabbled a bit.
But yeah, well, Wes Craven's kind of the biggest one.
Yeah.
I would say. Who's most known for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would have to look that up. I thought I read somewhere that Samurai Dreams, the thing from Videodrome, they like shot a whole version of.
Okay.
But I don't actually know. And like with many things about Videodrome, who knows what's real and what's not, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Point is, you know, there are some directors who maybe had... You know, we're on some disreputable sets back in the day.
But RGV did it backwards.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we'll ever be a completist with Ram Gopal Varma.
He does a lot of non-Hindi films, which is kind of antithetical. Not antithetical, but it doesn't really help us out too much for the podcast to watch.
Yeah.
Like, we might be interested in them. And it seems like he does remakes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll do Satya and then Satya.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But he's also, you know, in addition to kind of being known for crime cinema... you know, like Satya and Sarkar. He's also known for horror.
Yeah.
So as I said, in our very first Hindi Horror Halloween, we watched Boot, also starring Urmila Matondkar. And we didn't like that movie.
And Ajay Devgan. That would be a very early Ajay Devgan picture for us.
Mm-hmm. There's a moment where she's watching Due South on TV. I remember that being very exciting.
That's truly the only thing that it interested us about the film.
Yeah.
And I would say that both of these movies... kind of have some of the same shtick, which he's just ripping off Sam Raimi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the camera on a stick swirling.
Yeah.
Like you can't see it, listeners, but I'm with my hand. I'm pretending that my camera's on a stick and it's flying around. There's like spooky noises in the background. That's just the Evil Dead. It happened in the Evil Dead, and you know, Evil Dead 2 and a lot of other Raimi pictures, but like every Ram Gopal horror film I've seen, Ram Gopal Varma. It's been that kind of floating around, creepy camera.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's supposed to make you think you're an exhibitionist or maybe you're the ghost or you're stalking somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it works.
Mm.
It doesn't for me. I didn't find any of these movies scary at all. But we've had this argument many times.
Yeah, I mean, I do think in general, Hindi horror films tend to be rather derivative.
Yeah.
But I think horror as a genre tends to be rather derivative, and I don't say that in a negative way. I just think there is kind of, there's certain story arcs, there's certain modes, and there's certain kind of filmmaking techniques that continue to kind of get built upon one another. And that's the same as like any genre. But horror tends to be, you know, fairly... cheap to make, and then does well enough at the box office that that kind of margin, that profit margin, ends up being fairly profitable, like fairly lucrative.
All three of his horror movies, I would say, are kind of like Paranormal Activity.
Well, it's they're just not sort quite of, found footage.
It's not found footage, but it's like creepy things happening alone to a woman in an apartment, basically.
Sure.
And like that's pretty cheap to make.
It is pretty cheap to make, but it's also like a really great concept. I mean, that's what Repulsion is, probably my favorite horror film. That's what Phobia is, another Hindi horror film that we quite love.
But Phobia has a lot more going on.
Yeah.
And it presumably is influenced by him. Mm-hmm. But I think it's taken sort of the psychological realness, which I guess is what these are known for. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it would be pretty creepy if someone in your house started acting weird.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But like, I think Phobia really expands on that in an interesting way. Mm-hmm. And I think, as much as I like Urmila Matondkar, she is a sort of classic screen queen type, mm-hmm. whereas Radhika Apte in Phobia has a lot of range.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I like Urmila Matondkar, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we can kind of, because we have gone back and watched the Ramsey Brothers films.
Mm-hmm. Which is a whole other aesthetic.
Yeah, we've watched a lot of kind of the more schlocky, I'll say, horror films. And so...
And like them better.
As we get to Rat, which came out in 1992 and is kind of known for changing the way that horror was perceived within Indian cinema, mm-hmm. the way that it was shot, I think you can kind of see how, you know, if you've had a steady diet of kind of schlocky Ramsey Brothers stuff.
Which they had the TV show too, which I think was out around this time. And mm-hmm. like if I could see this definitely being a huge sea change.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Is like if you kind of put it in a chronology, I think you can kind of see why this really shook things up and why this really impressed people.
It's like the emergence of J horror into Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It was just a completely different paradigm, and it changed the game mm-hmm. from slashers and that sort of stuff. Like, it definitely, I could see why it works.
Yeah, and I think we have seen a lot of the stuff that has built on what Rat does.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff hasn't really impressed us. Yeah. However, going back and seeing, oh, this is kind of where, like, this mode of kind of possession, and then like late in the third act, the paranormal whoever, investigator or shaman or whatever, who shows up to kind of like solve everything. We've seen that so much in the Hindi horror films that I think Rat kind of feels like, I mean, I don't know for sure if it was necessarily the first one, but this is certainly has that blueprint.
Yeah.
And is one of the earlier ones we've seen that says this.
Yeah, a movie that we're not talking about on this podcast, but I brought up a little bit on Manish's, is Hawa with Tabu, which is also about a woman being essentially possessed, if not sexually assaulted, by ghosts. And there is creepy floating stuff around, and the, you know, the tantric, the mm-hmm. the... You know, the priest basically mm-hmm. shows up near the end. He gets like killed pretty quick, and then it's kind of up to her to solve her own problem. Yeah. But like, I don't know why.
I was impressed with Hawa. We're not.
Hawa was great.
Yeah, it's a Bollywood remake of The Entity. There's also quite a lot of poltergeist in it.
Yeah.
I know it's not considered a good movie. It doesn't have a great reputation, but I think because for me, horror is most interesting when it's playing off of kind of. Off of social anxieties, right? Yeah. Off of social and cultural anxieties. That's why
Which
horror,
these do as well.
These do as well. That's why horror works. And I feel like the kind of possession and spooky stuff that's happening to Tabu and Hawa kind of has a bit of a larger point about women and their experiences and the way that they're treated.
And generational trauma.
Exactly. And so I liked what the film was doing with that, even if I can acknowledge at times it's like, oh, this is like really ripping off a bunch of other Hollywood stuff. I still really liked it. Also, it's Tabu, which is fantastic.
Hawa is kind of like, it feels disreputable.
It does.
Like,
yeah.
You're watching her do all these rape scenes essentially by herself, and you're like, I hope she was okay after this.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, yeah. So Rod, which we're going to get into right now.
Yeah.
I guess I could describe the plot.
Sure.
I'll say all the people in it because you just looked at the plot.
You said
the plot, such as it is.
Yeah.
So Rod, which means night, came out in 92. Stars Revathi, who I believe goes on to bigger and better things. Like, she's actually a pretty big deal in South cinema.
Yeah, this was shot simultaneously in Hindi and Telugu, so you have a number of South Indian stars.
Yeah, it has Chinna, Rohini, Hatangadi, Akash Khurana, and Om Puri as the tantric sort of guru type guy who's got to get them out of this jam.
Late-breaking Om Puri.
Yeah. That's my first problem with the movie, is that The Exorcist shows up 20 minutes before the end, and we wait around for 2 hours. This was critically acclaimed, and I think, yeah, what you were saying about how this being a complete 180 from what would classically be known as, like, a Ramsey-type picture. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see, yeah, this would be a big change.
Yeah.
I just think the Ramsey ones are better.
Yeah, but I think we like that more, I'm going to use your word, that more disreputable kind of aesthetic. We like more of that kind of B-horror, whereas you can kind of see how this is a bit more, like, elevated compared to that.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, there's certainly some interesting filmic techniques. It starts off, here, I'll see if I remember the plot. You could chime in, because we did watch this a little while ago.
Yeah, while we were preparing for Bollywood drafts.
Revathi is a young girl in, I'm going to say a village, because as I understand it...
She's in college.
Yeah, like she's, late teens, early 20s. But as I understand it, Rot is village, whereas Boot is like... urban enemy. Mm-hmm. So, and there's another one that we didn't get to. It starts with a D, I think, but that's like super rural. Mm. So it's women encountering these sort of forces in different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like suburban villagey type. Mm-hmm. And she, it begins with her, what we find out is a dream, running around in a village with no one's around, and she's being stalked by the I forget what it's called in Raimi pictures, but I'm going to just call it the hover cam. Mm. And there's always sort of like a droning sound. Mm-hmm. If you were making this now, you would use a drone to do it, but it was probably like the Sam Raimi films, like a camera on a stick.
Yeah. Also, like, if there is kind of like, you know, kind of early 90s, like a horror director to take... notes from, Sam Raimi is certainly one of them.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Raimi and, like, Wes Craven and, you know, guys who did... Yeah, for 90s especially.
Toby Hooper.
Like, coming out of slasher movies and getting into the sort of... I don't even know what you would call them. Teen murder spectacles of Scream, Final Destination. I mean, I know you did last summer.
Scream is still a slasher.
It's a slasher, but it's also sort of like a teen movie.
Yeah.
But, like...
But Raimi,
Raimi is interesting because he has a lot of different things that he does.
Well, yeah, and Raimi, I think, is so clearly an auteur. Like, from the moment... I mean, as schlocky as, like, the Evil Dead films can be and Army of Darkness, but, like, from the moment Raimi showed... Like, you see him... you see his work on screen, it's kind of very clear that this guy has a lot more going on than, you know, than kind of a... His films don't feel cheap, even when they are cheap.
Very cheap.
They're incredibly cheap, and yet they feel, you know, like there's a voice and a point of view behind them.
There's a je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, he knows movies.
But...
I miss good Sam Raimi. Can I just say that? Like, I really
Like, Drag
miss,
Me to Hell? That ruled.
I loved Drag Me to Hell. The Gift... Darkman.
All three Spider-Mans.
The Spider-Mans. I miss Sam Raimi so much.
It was actually the second Doctor Strange movie, which had glimpses of his old stuff, but that was truly what made me just pull the plug on watching Marvel movies. Just the story was incomprehensible if you hadn't seen the TV show.
And you have...
You've got an amazing girl, guy to work with.
We're really going on a tangent, but you have the director who knows superhero movies better than anyone else.
And horror movies almost better than anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, he should have been a perfect fit, but I can't imagine the suits let him do anything that he wanted.
Yeah, he's kind of talked about it being not a great situation making that film. So anyways, good.
But I have to assume that the, you know, Ram Gopal Varma seems very familiar with Sam Raimi's work.
Yeah.
But the general movie-going going public in India, probably not.
Yeah, and I think that's...
And that's how you can get away with it.
I think that's one of the reasons why I really am not that critical of how derivative Bollywood horror films can be. Because, like, a lot of the movies that... And, you know, and they said this in Angry Young Men as well, when they were talking about the Westerns.
Yeah.
A lot of the films that they're pulling from and using as inspiration wouldn't necessarily have been available, known, had dubs. Yeah, or known to the public. Like, I get the sense that a lot of those movies were potentially not being released in India, or at least not widely.
Yeah.
And so again, like, because horror is such a genre that continues to recycle, I don't have an issue with it. I never have an issue with it, though.
Well,
filmmakers are always recycling.
Yeah, and I guess filmmakers usually like to watch other filmmakers' films from around the world.
to watch other filmmakers' films. They like to watch other films.
Yeah. But, like, filmmakers typically have a more varied film diet than your average person.
Sure, yeah.
Because they...
It's their industry. Yeah.
It's their industry. They like their to keep work. Up to date.
Yeah.
It's just they obviously got into it first. They like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're obviously going to watch things from around the world and may even watch, you know, Evil Dead, for instance, without subs, you know. I think Ram Govarma probably speaks English.
Yeah,
but, like, his audience, you can't always guarantee.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Rat, back to the story.
So Revathi is just being sort of stalked by a entity, a ghostly presence. Not the same kind of entity as the one that's after Tabu, for sure. But she keeps having these unsettling dreams. There's the village one. There's going to a movie and it being a packed house and then everyone disappearing and it's just her.
And at the same time that she's having all these unsettling dreams, her and her parents and her... Is it her nephew or her cousin?
Yeah, I think it's a cousin.
Yeah, I think it's her parents' nephew and her cousin have moved to a new home.
Yeah.
So they're in a new home and
kinda
she's...
Kind of isolated.
Yeah, and she starts having all these weird things, all these weird dreams, and starts eventually acting rather strangely.
Well, yeah, I think it kind of culminates with her going out with her boyfriend on a bike, and then I think he crashes the bike, and they're looking around. He has to go get a wheel or something, or maybe some gas, and she's kind of just off in the woods, and this thing, which...
And then she develops, like, cat eyes.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the thing that we're supposed to be kind of vexed by in this film as watchers is that we are the camera, and we're following her around. It's voyeuristic, I guess, which seems to be kind of an RGV thing as well, given his current day output. But, like, eventually Revathi is going to look at the screen and, like, look right through us. And she does have, like, crazy big eyes.
And, and they're kind of, like...
It's a very piercing stare.
And they're kind of cat eyes. And earlier in the film... the cousin, the boy that lives with them, he had a kitten and the kitten accidentally gets run over. And then they find a new kitten that looks exactly and seems to be exactly like the old kitten.
Yeah.
And so it kind of has that kind of like Pet Sematary idea of like, oh, has this cat come back?
Yeah, they don't. They don't come back better.
Yeah. This movie's from 1992, so I'm not worried too much about spoilers, but like, the cat ultimately ends up being a red herring.
Yeah.
And things really culminate...
Just like in the other movie.
Yeah. And things really culminate when Revathi goes to a, like, engagement party with her friend. And her friend ends up getting killed in a really horrific way. Her, like,
she basically gets Carrie powers.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, anyways. Her friend, the head, gets, like, totally spun around.
Yeah.
And this is when her parents and neighbor and everyone all start wondering, like, what's going on with her.
She also tries to kill her dad and
and then this is where Om Puri comes in for like the last 20 minutes to like tell us what's been going on this
and the
whole
last
time.
20 minutes actually kind of cool.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of a problem I have and I'm not just with this film but with a lot of Hindi horror films we've seen, and also just sometimes horror in general.
All sizzle, no steak.
Yeah, like they spend all this time building up and then kind of everything happens in the last 20 minutes. And I didn't think that the first like hour and a half, that the spookiness really felt sustained.
There's only so long you can do that for.
Yeah, I don't care too much about this girl and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, like a good horror movie really needs to like draw you in and make you care about the characters. So then when they start acting strangely or they start killing or dying, you know, you're invested in
Or have
things.
Some more kills too. Like this is a place where the Ramses know what to do because they have a bunch of useless people around who get killed by the monster.
Yeah, like, but just like for the first hour, I felt like we were just waiting for something to happen. And the creepiest thing that happens is like maybe a kitten came back to life and she's having weird dreams.
And she looks at us and she has a very piercing
look. Yeah, but that like weird eye thing I think only happens at about like halfway into the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just like...
It's about the terrifying pressure of being known and being seen. That's what Rot is about. No, but it's like she's like a dead lady who died horribly and...
Well, she's the mistress of the... Yeah, and she comes back.
She gets murdered and
she
like...
She gets like put in the floorboards and then she comes back to seek revenge on the guy that she was with, et cetera, et cetera. And it just kind of was like, oh, okay, there was a body in the floorboards.
Yeah, like... That's a perfectly fine resolution.
Sure.
But, like, get Om Puri in there early. Like, I think he saw The Exorcist, which has been copied in many other Hindi horror films. Off the top of my head, 1920 and The House Next Door. Mm-hmm. Like, exorcising people is pretty common.
Yeah.
But in The Exorcist, what they do is...
I think Poltergeist is, again, a big kind of looming over this. Not in the same way over Hawa.
This sort of happens in Poltergeist as well, but... Yeah. Essentially, Reagan gets possessed by, is it Captain Howdy, I think she calls demon? Yeah. Pazuzu. But, like, you get 20 minutes of the mom freaking out, and then we get science working on it. So she gets MRIs, she gets blood tests, all these doctors look at her.
And you have a similar thing happen here. But again, it takes forever to get to that point.
But, like, you have to have that, like, by the interval, science should have run out.
Yeah.
That's when magic and religion, that's when they need to come. Not in the last 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just the pacing is off.
Yeah.
This movie would have been fine had, you know, half an hour been taken out of the beginning.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Also, I think it probably would have helped to develop her parents a bit more.
Yeah, I don't care about them. Kill them. Yeah.
Well, sorry, just because you brought up The Exorcist. And again, I brought up Poltergeist. I think, like... Yeah.
That's about parents being terrified for their children.
Yeah, the parents are so well developed
in
those films and give such strong performances. Like, Alan Bernstein is incredible.
Yeah, and Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, that's kind of the formula, and the formula is not being used correctly.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it just, it kind of... It's just a bit of a slog. Like, I agree that those kind of last 20 minutes really bring it to life, and suddenly you're like, oh, there's something here.
If anything happened, I would have been excited.
but, like, a cat maybe coming back to life, you know, like, have that in the first 20 minutes. So I think just, like, ultimately, and we had a similar frustration with Boot, if I recall, 10 years ago. Just, like, the pacing.
Nothing happens.
The pacing is just... It's off. And I think
the Night Watchman gets killed and they're like, oh no, who did this? And then by the end, it's like 10 minutes of crazy stuff over.
Yeah. And we don't mind slow movies.
Yeah.
But when you sit down to watch like a horror movie, when you say like, oh, this is going to be really unnerving and spooky, you know, we're primed for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're looking for.
You need some jump scares. You need some other stuff going on.
We're not looking for Stalker.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Which, I mean, I guess, like, Stalker is also kind of an unsettling and spooky movie, but, like,
It's not marketed as a horror movie, and it's not the movie that apparently, like, reinvigorated the Bollywood horror industry.
Yeah, so I think, like, ultimately, I think, like this better than Boot. I mean, we haven't watched Boot in 10 years.
People love that movie, and I do not understand it.
We are going to go to Interval now.
Yeah. And what's the song?
So neither of these films really had like soundtracks available to us.
Yeah.
So we are going to play a song that you hear in Cone.
And as a jump scare, we're not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah, sure. We're not even going to tell you what it is. Figure it out. It's not a Bollywood song, though.
Spooky, though.
Sure.
Sherry, I'm sorry. Ab hum log TV dekhenge. Yes, baby. टीवी देखेंगे और सैंडविच खाएंगे है ना कम ऑन सिट हियर ओके नो बेबी
So that was the spooky tune Barbie Girl from Cone. And you know what I'll say about Boot? Killer theme song.
Yeah.
That was the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Cohn doesn't really have one, but it has pretty good music throughout.
Both of these films had really good music.
They're just not really like albums that you can get each individual song off of.
Yeah.
And since each one is just a word, it's also really hard to look for.
Yeah, yeah. Like, neither of these really had any soundtrack listings. But I really liked the score in both of these films, especially in Cohn. Like, music is good. I mean, that's one thing you can always rely on in Indian cinema in general, is the music's always going to be good.
Yeah, like, if these were available as soundtrack albums, they'd be great to play on Halloween night. Like, you know, they are foreboding and moody and spooky.
But I think that's also something that is a little different about these two films from kind of from Bollywood, from typical Bollywood. And one of the things that kind of set them apart. And even Boots, like, it has that end song that we were able to get, but there's not a lot of songs. Yeah, there's not a lot of songs in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cohn, which means who.
Who?
Came out in 1999. Stars Urmila Matondkar, Manoj Bajpayee, and Sushant Singh. It was shot in 15 days. This is a obviously very cheap to make film, which doesn't mean that it looks cheap.
No.
Yeah.
I would be curious to know whose house this is.
Yeah, yeah. And the film has since achieved cult status. Mm-hmm. It has a very basic setup. It's a dark and stormy night.
There's a killer on the loose.
There's a killer on the loose. Urmila Matondkar is at home by herself. And obviously, she's a bit on edge, you know? Dark and stormy. There's someone out there. And
she hears about it on the radio.
Yeah. Well, on the TV.
The TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she's kind of, you know, like, kind of finding ways to spend her evening making a sandwich, watching some TV, talking on the phone.
Feeding her cat.
To her mother. Yeah. Feeding her cat.
This is also a giant house, by the way.
But this is all disrupted when Manoj Bajpayee comes to her door and says that he wants, that he's there.
Ma'am? Ma'am?
That he's there to see her husband. And she says, well, that's not my husband's name. My husband is not Mr. Malhotra. I think she says he's Mr. Gupta.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, there must be some misunderstanding. It is pouring rain out here. Can I come in, use your phone, and kind of, you know, sort this out? And she's like, no.
Understandably, no.
Yeah. It's all set in this one location, in this big house, and it's a very, you know, like, I think some of the complaints that we have about Rat and Boot, people could make the same complaints about Cohn, except because there's not a lot that happens for a lot of the film. You're just kind of waiting to see how things play out.
And you're getting the drone-o-vision flying around, it just like creeping on Urmila.
Yeah, but this film is so incredibly tense that I didn't think there was a dull moment at all.
No, all you have to do is set the scene ahead of time,
exactly.
And then people will care.
And then you're just kind of, you're on the edge of your seat. Like, is he the serial killer? What is going to happen?
Yeah.
It's a very similar setup to It Effect and Signpost for Murder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's
It would be a great play.
This would make a great play. And this is not kind of unlike a lot of the other Ram Gopal Varma horror films we've seen, a lot of the other Hindi horror films we've seen. This is not supernatural in nature.
Is it? Ooh, don't want to say.
Well, again, it's from 1999. I don't think it's a huge spoiler that it's not supernatural in nature, which is something I appreciated because I think a lot of Hindi horror films are supernatural.
Yeah.
And it's not that I dislike paranormal or supernatural stories. It's just, this was refreshing to see something that really felt different from a lot of, like, sure, it seems a lot like It Effect.
Or Hitchcock films, or...
Yeah, you know, but
it could be classified as a thriller if you really wanted to.
I think you can definitely classify it as a thriller or a suspense film, but I also think it's very clearly horror. It's about a serial killer.
Yeah.
To me, this was, like, this felt like such a breath of fresh air compared to a lot of the Indian horror films that we do see. It's very tense, and these performances from Urmila Matondkar and Manoj Bajpayee, I think, really need to hit a certain note to keep you interested.
Yeah.
So you really have
to
feel...
What's this guy's deal?
Well, and I think you really have to feel the vulnerability with Urmila Matondkar of being alone in this house. She kind of acts very childlike.
Yes.
At times.
Playing with her cat.
And Manoj Bajpayee is like, he's kind of like, he's nervous. He's got a bit of like a tick. Like,
he's also annoying.
He's and kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sushant Singh also eventually shows up to kind of disrupt the game that's going on between the two of them and really kind of throws things into the third act where there are, I think, maybe some predictable twists and turns, but very satisfying twists and turns. I love this movie. I love this movie.
I think Ram Gopal Varma...
This is my favorite Ram Gopal Varma film I've ever seen. I love this movie.
Easily.
Yeah.
I think what he's trying to do is talk about the status of women in Indian society.
Sure.
I think, well, look at Rot, look at Boot.
Oh,
like it's all about women kind of, which is a lot of, you know, Western horror as well.
Yeah.
But like it's urban enemy or village enemy or like rural enemy of like women being vulnerable and having things happen to them and having to rise above it, which again, Final Girl type classic horror stuff. But, like, I think that he really is trying to look at sort of the interplay between men and women in this one. Because if it was turned around and, like, a hot chick showed up and it was wet outside, like, a lot of guys would have let her in.
Yeah.
But almost no woman is ever going to do that.
Well, and I think the gender dynamics he sets up.
Yeah.
And the way that, again, like, the way that Manoj Bajpayee gives you the creeps.
Yeah.
The way that Urmila Matondkar, who never has a name in the film, the way that she feels so vulnerable and alone and innocent, I think he really plays up the feelings about those characters only to kind of flip things around in a very satisfying way. This was the kind of tense... and creepy, you know, like it is creepy.
If there was a, because he doesn't just stay at the door, he walks around, he knocks on the window.
He gets a sandwich.
Eventually she makes him a sandwich just to go away. But like if there was a guy on our balcony right now, I would be disconcerted.
Yeah, and I think like as tense as this film is, it's also incredibly funny.
Yeah, there's lots of good bits.
Manoj Bajpayee really brings like a sense of humor to this whole thing that I think simultaneously like makes it him unnerving.
Yeah.
But also like in the end really likable.
If you believe his story, he's having a horrible day. A bunch of stuff just keeps happening to this poor guy.
Yeah.
But also, is he just saying that to get in there and murder her? Who knows?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this whole kind of like thing with like he gets hungry and he needs a sandwich. Also, like it really is pouring rain outside. Like he gets so wet.
And there's like windows open in this house and like she's not very good at keeping the house clean.
Yeah. And I think the pacing kind of like at every just kind of every 10 minutes.
It escalates.
It escalates. And something happens that just kind of I think pulls you in further of wondering like what is going to happen and what is going on.
This would even be tense as a radio play.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a good situation.
It is, yeah. So much so that, like, again, we can name two other pretty famous, well-known movies that have this. But this... So, but those I wouldn't necessarily call horror films.
It looks like it's more like a courtroom drama, if I remember right.
Well, there's some courtroom aspects to it, but it's, like, it's more of kind of a neo-noir. Signpost for Murder is more of, like, a noir. Those are more of kind of, like, crime films.
Yeah.
This, I think, really brings it into the horror element... because it gets fairly violent and unhinged in the third act, and it gets very bloody.
Yeah.
But it's certainly straddling that kind of thriller horror line, which I mean, a lot of the best horror films do.
Yeah.
You know, Psycho certainly does.
Psycho, or like, say what you will about slasher movies, maybe one of the most disreputable genres, but they're also like thrillers.
Yes.
Like. Just because it's Freddy or Jason trying to kill people, you also have to establish, you know, a likable or unlikable group of idiots who are going to get killed by them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the better ones in those franchises do.
Mm-hmm.
And with Urmila Matondkar, it's like you've established someone who is obviously very tense. She has every reason to not let this guy in. Mm-hmm. And also, he needs to get inside because he's freezing.
Also, like, I think, as opposed to with Rot, where I just feel like we get so much build up about, you know, Revathi and her boyfriend and her friend, and like, because it's trying to make you care about these characters.
Yeah.
Here, it's like Ram Gopal Varma understands that these characters being a blank slate is far more interesting.
Because, like, you can project yourself onto it.
Exactly. You can project what it is like, you know, especially for me as a woman, to be home alone at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, for there to maybe be something scary going on out there.
What was that thing you watched when I wasn't here? About the guy who was breaking into women's houses and murdering them. And you were like, that was a terrible movie to watch while I was home alone.
Well, I watched Bug while you weren't around, and that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
The William Friedkin film. And then I tried to watch, what was it called, Unbelievable or something? That Netflix show that, like, I think it's Toni Collette, Caitlin Dever, that, like, Michael Chabon had written a bit for about, it was just like a true crime thing about women who were getting attacked who were home alone at night. That, and I only got one episode in, and I
was,
like,
a terrible idea.
Why would I watch this while Matt's out of town? This is a terrible idea.
Yeah. But that's the sort of thing that just works really well because it is scary.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of a cat.
Yeah.
But anyone being home by themselves on a cold and windy and stormy night, and someone just shows up and they won't go away, that's going to unnerve most people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's just like, it's such a good premise, and the twists and turns are executed so well. And I think, yeah, like, having these characters have to reveal themselves as the film goes along. We're not told everything about them, which is also kind of relates to these twists and turns that come. It's just kind of, you have to suss out, like, who they are and what their motives are.
Yeah.
But, you know, Urmila Matondkar, as soon as she's on screen, you do feel, like, that kind vulnerability and that protectiveness, which the film kind of...
Because her giant eyes.
Yeah, the film twists and uses to its advantage.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, because of a lack of supernatural element, I think it's a lot harder to kind of roll your eyes. Like, this just, this feels so present. Yeah, I love this film. I think it's a real gem, and I'm really glad that, you know, we didn't give up on Ram Gopal Varma's horror films after Boot and Rot, because this was waiting for us, and I loved it.
It's just fantastic.
It's
so simple that it's kind of hard to delve into more without saying anything about the ending, but, like,
The setting is really well done, like, just the location, just kind of how white this house is. But there's also a lot of, like, weird things in it, of, like, just kind of all these, like,
statues
that have, like, spears and kind of things. Like, things that just kind of, because the camera's kind of moving around the house the whole film, you start to become aware of, like, all these things that could be potential, like, weapons.
Well, spatially, you do get a good sense of the house.
Yeah, spatially, I think. So that kind of, like, that way that you talk about him liking to kind of follow things, I think works really well for
because it has a purpose this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of just like, oh, there's Revathi, you know, we'll follow her around for 20 minutes.
And I think the way that Ram Gopal Varma upends kind of the way that home and inside feels safe compared to outside.
Yeah.
Again, I think there's a lot of classic kind of horror elements within here that I think he uses to its full advantage.
And home invasion movies are like a time-honored tradition.
Oh, home invasion is always scary. So Yeah, again, because it, like, it disrupts a place where you feel safe. But what if the home is not the place where you should have felt safe?
Like, I've never met a witch. Like, I'm unlikely to get possessed by a demon, but I do have a house.
Yeah.
And if someone showed up at my house, I'd be freaked out.
Yeah. But again, but
it's relatable
because of the twist. Like, it just, I would watch this movie. Like, I will watch it again. I think this would be a really great one to show to friends. I haven't heard of anyone else not liking this film. So if you've never seen it, I hope we didn't ruin too much of it.
Check it out, though. It's good.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our 10th annual Hindi Horror Halloween. It's always so much harder to talk about movies that we really liked.
Yeah.
So this is going to be our last episode for at least a month. We are going to be doing a lot of traveling, and we have a lot of big work commitments for the next month. So we'll be back sometime in December. Matt, I think you said you're going to run some classic episodes for people to enjoy.
Yeah, I could set up a few classics to go out. But yeah, we're going to be...
traveling the world.
We're busy.
Yeah. Well,
this is something that we wanted to do for a very long time.
Yeah. So we're going to be taking a bit of a break. We'll be on a bit of a hiatus. But like we said, that episode of Bollywood Drafts is coming out. So please give that a listen. But in the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up the show?
At Bollywood Pod on Twitter. I'll never say X.
Okay.
Facebook, just look it up. Facebook.com/Bollywood for Lovers. Tumblr.com/Bollywood for Lovers.
You can email us at bollywoodforlovers@gmail.com, especially if you need to collect some of your biffle points.
Yeah, if you want to see some other horror movie rankings and things, you can check me out on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
I have a list of every movie that's ever been on Hitty Horror Halloween, as well as if you look at my... Yeah, you can see what we've been watching horror-wise lately.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just Matt Bowes there. No underscore.
I'm Erin E. Fraser, E-R-N-E-F-R-A-C-E-R. That's what I am on Twitter as well. You can also listen to my other show that I do with Paul Matwichuk called
Trash. What spooky episode do you have?
called Trash of the Movies. We're actually going to be discussing Poltergeist and the others.
You have to tell Paul about Hawa, though, because
okay.
Hawa
I think I already
stole
did.
Wholeheartedly from Poltergeist.
Okay, all right. We also want to thank Becca Dahlke for our artwork.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you in a month.
And if Tuffy was at home alone, I think he would just bark a lot and then scare off intruders.
Well, he has the power of Krishna. So.
That too, but yeah. I don't think many of these problems would bother him. Oh, a cat? Oh, what's a dog? A cat will be easily defeated by a dog.
Okay.
No problem.